All right, welcome back to another episode of Everyday Ecclesiology. I'm Daniel Greenhall.
And I'm his wife, Desiree Greenhall.
Do you want to finish it?
And our goal in this podcast is to explore what it looks like to be faithful.
For laymen within the local church to build up the body of Christ.
There you go. Something I don't have it all memorized. That's sorry.
Okay. I make it up every time. This podcast has three more segments after the introduction. Number two is called What We're Doing. We share a little bit about, well, what we're doing. Three, what we're learning. And lastly, what we're reading is how we finish. What we've been up to. We had a nice rest day yesterday. That was nice.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Besides sit around.
Yeah, I went and chatted with a guy from church, which was nice. Did we play outside some? A little bit, but it was cold.
It was really windy, so it was cold.
Yeah, watched some movies with the kids. Read some books.
Played some board games.
Yeah. Yep. So we played Battleship. That's right. Timmy
so
just tried to eat the pieces.
Putting the pegs where they go.
Yeah. She liked cleaning
She also liked putting pegs where they don't go, and that's a little confusing.
Maybe that's why I won. It was a close game, though. I only won by one turn.
Yep.
It was pretty good. Also been playing a new game together. The Harry Potter game. Well, technically not Harry Potter. He's not in it, but Hogwarts Legacy. Mm-hmm. That one we've been playing a little bit. It's been fun so far. It's been fun to play through it together. It's basically like watching a TV show that's as many seasons long as we want it to be because there are side quests and things, but that's been a lot of fun. Not that either of us are good at video games. We just put it in story difficulty.
You're way better than me.
It's super easy.
It's in story mode, but I still would lose.
You'd be fine. If you'd played it from the beginning, you'd be
You were laughing at me because I kept running into the woods on accident
when I was
trying to run the guy.
She's like trying to run and forgets to turn her camera while she's turning a person. And then she's like looking at the side of the person running sideways across the screen. I'm like, what are you doing?
It's pretty funny.
Yep. I think with mouse and keyboard, you might actually do better.
Probably, yeah.
We should give that a try.
Because you can direct with the mouse and then turn with the keyboard.
It's pretty instinctive to move the mouse because everybody interacts with the computer.
I would be way better at that.
Yeah. We've also done some yard work. We did some just today.
Yeah.
I did mowing. That was nice to get everything mowed. I enjoy subduing the earth in that way. There are other ways that I don't enjoy subduing the earth, like trimming trees and cleaning gutters. But that's one way that I do enjoy getting nice, at least to my eye, straight lines.
Yeah.
And getting it all nice and even. So it's a lot more fun to walk through. You did some weeding.
Yeah. I don't feel like I'm subduing the earth because
you're in a losing battle with Creeping Charlie.
Taking over and... Yeah. I don't know.
It's a tough one. I also don't know anything about it, so that's pretty tough.
Everybody's like, oh, hand pull it. And I spent an hour and I hand pulled like 1 cubic foot.
Yeah, we have like an acre.
This is not gonna work.
Well,
it's 0.6.
Yeah, we have 2/3 of an acre and probably a half of that. So 1/3 of an acre is covered in Creeping Charlie, it seems like.
Oh, it's the whole yard. There's like
just
that
little
area behind But yeah, we started out with not well-established grass, and our yard is super shady, so those are like prime Creeping Charlie territory, and I just hate how it looks. It's brown.
It's not brown,
bad,
it's purple.
And it's not fun to walk on barefoot, so.
We did get the chicken coop out of there finally.
Yeah.
That was here when we got here. Got all the rest of the head, some chicken wire in the ground to keep things from tunneling under and up into the chicken coop. And finally got that all pulled out and backfilled a little bit. And all the blocks moved out of there that they had for the chickens to move on. And the egg that's been in there for like literally 3 years.
Like a real egg.
Like an actual egg, yeah. That some chicken laid.
Are you sure it was there 3 years or wasn't just the neighbor's chickens?
I'm pretty sure it was there for 3 years.
Okay. That's kind of gross.
Pretty sure, yeah.
You think it would have degraded by now? Is that the right word?
But the shell held up until I smashed it yesterday.
Oh, you smashed it?
I moved it to a spot and then I smashed it so that it could like get washed away and everything.
Did it smell bad?
I walked away. We've been over
Where'd
in that
area. Where'd
you do it? See, you haven't even noticed.
Where did you do it? Tell me.
Behind a tree. Between the big tree right behind the garage and the fence.
Okay. Yeah.
Where no one's
going to
go back there. Yeah.
I thought you should just put it back in the neighbor's yard.
I'm sure if
I
went over there and sniffed
their
ground.
Chickens, but...
I'm not going to throw an egg in the neighbor's yard. Because it could have been ours. I have no
That's
idea.
That's true.
Even if it is, I could just throw it in the trash. But I was like, this will get washed away.
Yeah, and the trash will stink up, and then I'll have to wash it out again.
That's what I was thinking of. I walked over to the trash can first and thought, nah, Desiree, I want to wash this out. So
yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. And then we got a backyard fire pit. We've had a backyard fire pit, and now we've been using it for fires, and you were thinking of inviting people over, but your brain's a little overloaded maybe.
Yeah, Sophia was talking to me at lunch, and I didn't even hear her.
Yeah, eventually I just responded for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've enjoyed burning a little bit in there, having a little bit of, we had a big pile we're working through and still burning it in small pieces, but now we're like, oh, now I'm like, man, maybe we should ration this so we have enough to burn.
Oh.
But it'll get pretty hot during
the
summer.
It's like the small sticks and stuff that make it easier to start the fire.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to buy a fire starter.
Yep. But I did a little bit of trimming along the fence line and got some more brush from that we can use if we need to.
It'll dry out on our other pile.
Yep. A lot of yard work, a little bit of games, and a little bit of resting. It's been nice. But we've been learning as well. There was a recent, because we're in a new church building,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not a new church, fundamentally. We'll get to that in a second. But we're in a new church building. We recognize the possibility or the increased possibility, probability even, if you want to put it in math terms, there's an increased probability that we will have visitors
mm-hmm.
at the new building, whether it be people just wanting to see this new building or people not knowing the church existed before and now it's someplace they drive by or they've wondered what in the world took 3 years to build about this mm-hmm. church building. Well, it was COVID. That's not what took 3 years to build. But
yeah, I wonder how magnificent they think it looks on the inside,
I don't know,
or something.
Because it took so
and then
long.
They're like, wait, what? That's it?
It's also just because we don't have money to pay people extra for overtime, so we're like really low on their list of getting things done.
Oh, I see.
Especially when we're like close to Ankeny, and some of the contractors mm-hmm. will also work in Ankeny.
Yeah.
But it's finally up, so we recognize that there's an increased probability of people visiting our church. So then we'd been thinking about, thanks to our pastor's leadership, how should we approach, not like firstly and solely like walk up to approach, but like how should we think about, there are visitors here, so how should we handle that? How should we think about what they are, who they are in relationship to us, how we can best help them, how we can best show gospel love to them? Although he hasn't used that term before. That's a term I'm going to use. Instead of saying proper love, I'll say gospel love,
because
that's a good qualifier, a helpful biblical qualifier. So thinking about the idea of, this is everyday ecclesiology, mm-hmm. right? That's the podcast. But a part of everyday does include Sunday and when visitors do come to your church, and even our approach to visitors will cover more than just the gathering of the church.
Right. But because this can also apply to even just evangelism in the day-to-day life.
Yeah.
So.
But also, as someone serving in your local church, that should definitely involve going to church, and you may encounter visitors. So how do mm-hmm. we think about visitors? Not necessarily the role of visitors, but our role with visitors at a local church.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll start off with a little bit of I call it a groundwork review. This is just going over some of the stuff that we've talked about, touched on, things like that before, and then working from that, okay, how should that shape our view of what a visitor is?
Yeah.
So I'll define some of those things as we go. First off, we know that the church is a gathering of believers.
Mm-hmm.
This is something we've covered. It's not a building, but a people and a specific people.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say the church is not a place, but a people. The church is a people, not a place. Yes, but it isn't just any people.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an assembly of unbelievers, but that's not what a church is.
Right.
A church is specifically an assembly of called out ones. And in this context, we're using it to mean ones called out by God to the gospel, to mm-hmm. salvation, those who are saved. When Paul writes letters to the churches, he's writing to believers.
Mm-hmm.
He's specifically and exclusively talking to believers as his audience. When he writes to the Corinthian church, he's assuming if they're part of the church, you're a believer, because that's the only people who can actually be part of Christ's church. We see this in his letter to the Galatians, any letter to a church. The intended audience is believers, and oftentimes they're called to the saints at Ephesus. I think that's how Ephesians begins.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm gonna have to look that up. Bible Gateway Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Let's do ESV. Oh, man. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. There we go, Ephesians 1. I'm not going crazy, or at least I had that right. And then we know he's writing to the church, and it's just saints. So first off, the church is a gathering of believers. And in Ephesians 4, we see that the gathering of the local church is designed for the edification of other saints. We've looked at Ephesians 4 before. You still with me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening for Sophia or something? You look like
I was trying to focus on what you're saying because it takes a little extra work.
Oh, yeah. You're not looking at the notes, so that's a little harder. In Ephesians 4, we see that the gathering of the local church is designed for the edification of the other saints. So it's not firstly designed around, here's a board meeting of a charity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not firstly designed around, hey, how do we get a bunch of unbelievers here? How do we attract them? It's not firstly based around, here's an outreach event every Sunday. It's not what it is. It's designed for the edification of the saints, those who already believe in Jesus, those mm-hmm. who are already saved. It's designed for that, for the building up of a body, as we opened the podcast with. Also in 1 Corinthians 14, for a clear example, we see that the gathering of the local church, there were likely, if ever, unbelievers present, so much so that Paul was like, hey, have you thought about what this would look like if an unbeliever popped in today? So they were he was talking about prophecy and speaking in tongues. He's like, well, what would this look like if an outsider popped in? Because that was like something they wouldn't have thought of yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or may not have thought through. So he's like, well, think about it in this perspective, because they weren't thinking of their gathering in terms of unbelievers mm-hmm. will be here. Paul yeah. even had to bring it up as a, well, think about it from this perspective.
Mm-hmm.
However, that doesn't mean we ought to turn away unbelievers from joining with us in our edifying gathering. So if we have a gathering that is designed around edification, building up of the body, that doesn't mean if an unbeliever shows up, we should say, oh, sorry, you're not allowed into this exclusive club. You can't even sit here and watch. We're not saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no.
Certainly this would be against even, I think, the heart of the gospel.
Right.
But we also shouldn't lie to them by trying to make them believe that they are a part of us, because
right.
they are, though like us in that they are sinners, unlike us in that they are not redeemed sinners. They're not part of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So if a visitor shows up that is an unbeliever, yes, I know, believers can visit. If you go on vacation,
yeah.
you might visit your parents' church. You're already a believer. I'm thinking specifically in this instance of unbelieving visitors,
mm-hmm.
though it is a possibility that there are believing visitors, and we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. We don't want an unbelieving visitor to think that they are part of what we are, because they're not. If they're an unbeliever, they're not actually part of the body of Christ. We shouldn't make them feel like they are a body of Christ. That doesn't mean we can't make them feel welcome.
Right.
We can make them feel welcome. We can't make them feel welcome. We can do our best to help them feel welcome. We can be welcoming. We can mm-hmm. be familial toward them, but we don't want to confuse them in that welcoming demeanor and hurt them by making them think that, oh, hey, we're a part of this club too.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to convey that. What that balance looks like of being welcoming, but not, oh, yeah, you can do everything we can do because you're exactly the same as us. That might be more difficult in reality,
well,
but those are two principles we both need to hold.
Yeah, have members are allowed to do this and mm-hmm. non-members aren't.
Yes.
When it comes to like volunteering in the nursery or
have we talked on here much about church membership?
No.
We're gonna have to go to that one. We're gonna have to chat about that. That's a topic for another time. But those are two things we need to hold true: that we need to be welcoming, but also not make them think that you can do anything that we can do. You're exactly the same as us. There's no difference, because there is. And we want them to understand, because we care about their soul.
Right. We're
so
still
then,
loving them just as much
yes.
as we're loving our fellow members.
Yes. So then, how do we approach a proper understanding and handling of when unbelievers attend the gathering of the local church? So I'll talk about visitors a little bit more broadly, visitors, because there could be believing visitors, but we're thinking for a little bit about unbelieving visitors. As a side note, there are almost always unbelievers at the assembly of the local church.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this before. Children. In this episode, though, we'll have to be thinking most carefully about adult visiting unbelievers.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make sure that, well, what do you mean unbelievers in the assembly? If you think carefully, they're always there because they're just kids.
I
yes,
feel
they
like
are.
That's just something only you would think about.
I cannot be the only one that thinks that way. I don't think. I'm not the only one that thinks that way. Other
yeah,
people know how to
Sophia,
think like that.
Like
probably, yeah. Or Timmy. He just can't express it yet. So, Pastor Danny gave us five, he put it in terms of a body, gave us five pointers for how we can think about approach, help unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to steal his points, rip them off, and we're going to chat about them a little bit because they're helpful. They're what we're learning. Also, I think I have his permission, so it's fine. First up, we need to pray for them. I'm just going to do the what it is, and then I'll use the analogy later.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have
yeah.
your notes up?
Oh, that's good. I do.
Oh, okay. Are they hiding down there? Okay.
Why? Do you want me to act?
No, I just didn't know if you were.
Or?
I just didn't know if you were there. Okay, so first
me.
Off, we should pray for them. So,
mm-hmm.
We should pray for you. Should pray for yourself that you would interact well with visitors,
mm-hmm.
especially for our church, as we know that there's increased likelihood. But
right.
even
and
for
there
anyone,
has been.
In, yeah. But even for anyone in any church, there's always a possibility of a visitor. So it doesn't hurt as part of your regular prayer to say, "Hey, if visitors do show up, I want to interact with them well."
Yeah.
So you should pray.
Give me a welcoming heart.
Yeah. Pray for yourself. Pray for visitors. I mean, it's not wrong. Even if we know that the gathering of the body is primarily and firstly centered around the edification of the body. It's not wrong to say, Lord, would you bring visitors into our gathering? Like, people around us that are curious about you, that know from nature that you exist, mm-hmm. come to a church and learn about who you are. It's not mm-hmm. wrong to pray that God would work in people's hearts that way. Right. Now, that doesn't mean that I wrote this down. Though, yes, we know this is not and should not be viewed as our primary means of sharing the gospel with the lost. Now, if I'm praying that way, I say, Lord, I want to share the gospel with people, so bring people to our church, because that's the only way it's ever going to happen, because I'm not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. That's not helpful.
Yeah.
We know we've talked about evangelism as a lifestyle. Maybe I shouldn't use the word lifestyle evangelism, because that means something different. But we've talked about a proper view of evangelism, not just being Sunday morning gatherings.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we can't pray that the Lord would bring unbelievers right. into our gathering, because that does give us even more of an open door than maybe we would
right,
have otherwise.
Right, because they're like in quotation, our territory. Yeah. Makes it a little easier. I mean, if they're already stepping in on their own accord to your church building to yeah. be around your church family, you already have that little open door. You're
you
not worried that as soon as you bring up the subject, they're going to get offended.
Yeah.
You already have a good starting point.
They've already become so curious that they're like, I'm willing to go somewhere where I don't normally go.
Yeah.
Because I want to know something.
And to a place they know they won't belong in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can also pray that when visitors do show up, we as a local church would display clearly the love, truth, mercy, grace, etc. that has been shown to us in the gospel.
Yeah.
That we could show them gospel love.
We were once unbelievers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So first off was pray for them. Second off is look for them. Pay close attention at the gathering of the local church to if visitors attend, rather than just focusing on you and your family or a typical group of friends, pay attention to them. Look for them.
Yeah. Side note, know your church family well enough so that you know who's a visitor and who's church yeah. family.
Are you a visitor? No, I've been going here for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so. I have to be careful to think not just in terms of my church family. There are churches of 300 to 400, and that can be a little bit more difficult. But that may end up being more of a side note on should you have a church of 300 to 400 or should you split your church. But that's a topic for a different time.
I think even still 300 to 400.
Yes.
If you push yourself and if you are able-bodied, I know for some people this might be more difficult.
Yeah.
I don't see how it would be impossible to introduce yourself to one person every time you meet.
Correct. But it will take time.
It will take time.
So if you've only, so let's say you attend a biblically solid church of like 400 people mm-hmm. and you've been going for 3 years, that might not be enough time to know everybody
yet.
Yeah. Because that's a lot of people to actually know and talk to and recognize, and not everybody comes every Sunday. And yeah.
Yeah. I think if you push yourself though,
yes.
I just know for me, sometimes I go in and I actually look around. I'm like, oh wow, I don't know if that person's been coming for 2 years or if they've only been coming for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And yeah. that's how I know that I need to do better.
The name tags helped a little bit because yeah. we knew there was an influx of visitors coming at our specific church, or at least potential for it. We had name tags to help out a little bit, so that way we were a little more approachable. I don't know if a name tag makes you more approachable, but that's the theory, and it might. But that also made it easy for me to look around and go, oh, they have a name tag. They must have been here for a while. But I pretty
much knew.
We're
telling on ourselves. So if our church family is listening to us, help encourage us to introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
Our church is very good.
Yeah.
Especially our deacons, I think, at coming. I know this has happened to us several times over the years.
Yeah.
Where we'll be there on a Sunday and a deacon will come up and be like, point a visitor out to us and be like, yep. hey, they have this similarity with you. Like they live close to you or they're your age or whatever.
Yep.
Maybe you could introduce yourselves to them. Yep.
And
we're like,
and
oh,
not
yeah,
because
thanks.
That's the thing that needs to bind us together, but that can be a good entry point into conversation. And they recognize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And certainly the deacons aren't like, well, I can't talk to this person because I don't know this or this. But they're recognizing, hey, this might be a good person well-suited to chat with this person.
Yeah.
So they're helpful. I appreciate that. Okay, so we should pray for them. We should look for them. And then if we see them, we should actually go to them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in chorale tour, this was like the hardest mm-hmm. thing for me. In college, we were in chorale together, Desiree and I.
Mm-hmm.
And at every church, we would have a while before the service. We were ready. We had eaten, hopefully had water and not coffee, although I always had coffee anyway, but that's a side note. And we would have to go and chat with the people coming into the church because we had time before the performance was going to start. But it was always so hard for me to go and talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I never really liked that. I would see them. I would know who was there, who was not my chorale people. mostly because they weren't dressed in corral robes yeah. in tuxes. But actually talking to them was, for some reason, very difficult to me. And maybe that, if I broke it down, I could actually figure out what was actually going on in my heart there. Mm-hmm. But that's an issue for another time. But go to them,
yeah.
which for some people can be difficult, whether it be due to a variety of reasons.
Having
I'll leave it
kids,
that broadly. Yeah.
I know for me is difficult because yeah. I'm like chasing them down and then I'm talking to somebody and then 2 minutes I'm like chasing them down and I'm like, do I go back and talk to them or do I stay away? I don't know what to do.
I think when it's easiest for me to go in and introduce myself to someone and chat with them is when I have Timmy and he's happily in my arms or on my shoulders. Because then like I have something to talk about that's clearly obvious. I'm very approachable. I'm not as much of a weirdo. At least I feel like it. And then
you don't feel like a weirdo?
I don't feel like a weirdo when helpful. I have a kid with me. I don't know why. And maybe that's just my pride showing and somebody will tell me about that. But that's okay. You need to actually go to them if you see them. Talk to them, approach them, and take the time to show that you care for them in an effort to be appropriately welcoming.
Right. You kind of blurred into your next point there.
No, that
Pastor
was...
Pastor Danny's next point.
Oh, yes. Go to them and actually speak to them. Sorry.
Yeah.
It may be more difficult for some than others to start conversations, but press yourself in that direction.
Yep.
To actually speak with them. And finally, which I thought was helpful, follow up with them. If they show up again, another Sunday. If they show up that Sunday night, if you have a Sunday evening service, or to small groups in our mm-hmm. case, or to Wednesday night gathering, Bible study, then go and chat with them again.
Yeah.
Continue to be welcoming.
Have them over for dinner.
Yeah, that's a good idea as well. And make an effort to continue to be welcoming, to continue to build a relationship with that person.
Right.
Because first and foremost, that's what discipleship is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relationship with that person. Now, in our circles, when we use discipleship, we're thinking discipleship as a relationship specifically intended to draw that person closer to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of discipleship we're thinking of, but it starts as getting to know the person.
Right.
As like the front door, if you will. So, or
the
front lawn.
I'd like to, for the follow-up, eventually, if it ever fit in the budget, it would be fun to have a budget set aside for inviting people out for lunch. Because
yeah.
I know it could be intimidating.
Yep.
You just met someone, come over to my house type of thing. But
yeah.
if it was like, you just met someone, hey, let's go to Culver's for lunch. It'd be our treat type
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
That'd be a good, fun way to follow up.
Something we can work on setting aside money for. So then the way that Pastor Danny put all those together was head down, eyes up, feet forward, mouth open, hands out.
I liked it. I wrote
yeah.
it down in my Bible.
It's the type of cheesy that we appreciate.
Yeah.
So head down, the idea of praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes up, which is kind of weird if you think about doing those two things together. Head down and eyes
I didn't
up.
Think
so
about
roll your
that.
Eyes back in your head.
Oh, Daniel.
Feet forward, mouth open. Eyes up is look for them.
Mm-hmm.
Feet forward is going to them.
Mm-hmm.
Mouth open is speaking to mm-hmm. them. And hands out is following up with them.
Yep.
And in my mind, visualize that whole person, and it looks
oh, really?
Hilarious.
I haven't even
it looks
thought
like
about
someone
it.
Who's possessed. I
can't
wait for
so
you to
funny.
Get that image.
I'm never going to get that out of my head now.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Yep.
We'll have to take a video of you
oh,
trying
dear.
To imitate that.
I don't know about that.
That.
Just take a video of Timmy anytime. He pretty much looks like
that's
that.
That's probably true.
Yeah. But that's how we've been thinking about learning about approaching, thinking about, even to put it properly, stewarding visitors.
Yeah.
That sounds weird to say you're stewarding people, but taken properly, that actually does make sense
yeah.
and can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it the wrong way. Don't hear what I'm not saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can be helpful. And we've enjoyed learning something that I hadn't given much thought to in the past.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, what we're reading. What have you been?
Me and Sophia still been reading Little House in the Big Woods.
Yeah. The first
working
one in
my
Little
way
House on the Prairie.
Little Women. I'll have to renew that at the library because it's due next week and I'm nowhere near finished.
Mm-hmm.
Although
it's
I have friends
one.
That have it.
That's
so
true.
I might
just we
borrow
just,
it
yeah,
from them.
Over to a friend's house and saw they had it.
And then A Woman's Wisdom
yep.
still.
We read some in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. I've read a little bit more in He Will Reign Forever. Chatted with someone about it as well. And then we finished the Reaching the Lost Evangelism, the study guide for churches one.
Just finished it.
Finished it as a small group, and it was good, helpful.
It was helpful.
It's approachable and helpful for a variety of ages as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very good choice for a mixed demographic small group.
Yep.
Younger kids, older kids. There's some low-baller questions that help the kids start thinking that are just very much look at the text. What does the text say?
Right, which
drawing
is good.
Out, yes,
yeah.
it's very good. Working on those powers of observation and what to observe within a text. Mm-hmm. I always had trouble as a youngster in youth group. Youngster, I haven't used that word in a long time. As a youngster in youth group, when we would go through we went through Living by the Book, the book.
Oh, okay.
And learned about observe, interpret, apply, but it didn't make much sense to me. They're like, yeah. Observe, what's going on in the text? I'm like, well, I just literally what it says there. What do you mean? You want me to just copy the text down?
Yeah.
I was so confused. But the questions asked, some of them are very much, oh, here's maybe the vein of questions I should be asking. What, here's some of the things I might need to be observing about a text,
yeah.
just to better understand a text. So I appreciated that book. And going through it as a small group was nice, hearing different people's experiences with evangelism, both being evangelized to mm-hmm. and sharing the gospel with others. And even the appropriate drumbeat of obedience in evangelism is sharing the gospel. Obedience in evangelism isn't people get saved.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, people getting saved is a great possible outcome that is dependent on God. But don't think you failed at evangelism if no one's saved.
Yeah.
Even you can get the benefits of obedience and evangelism, the joy that you get from obedience,
mm-hmm.
without someone being saved.
Mm-hmm.
You can grow as a believer in evangelism through evangelism, even when no one accepts the gospel,
yeah.
just by sharing it. So that was a helpful distinction between evangelism and people being saved.
Yeah.
I appreciated it. We'll probably cover it once that book as well, once I finish the book Evangelism by, is that Stiles?
I think
Stiles.
We'll see.
But we'll go through that one. It's another Nine Marks one, kind of like the Deacon's book. It's in that
yep.
same series as the Deacon's book, and there might be another one in that series we've done. I'm not sure. We'll cover some of them. But we'll cover all that together, and you can get a little bit more of my thoughts, our thoughts on the book, because Desiree went through it as well, answered
yep.
questions, and we enjoyed going through that together. Even if you're a couple wanting to go through books, those were really good for us to go through like on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
It took like 15 minutes.
Yep.
We would just go through, talk through the questions together. And it was in prep for small groups where we would talk more. But going through it together as a couple was really fun.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it. And maybe we'll go back and do it with one of the other ones that you missed the study on since you're taking
yeah.
care of kids. So I think that's going to do it for us this week. Hopefully you guys enjoyed us having another episode out on time, if I get it edited. It's recorded on time. We're recording this on a Wednesday afternoon.
Editing won't be too hard. So, we didn't have any interruptions.
Yeah. So hopefully you guys enjoyed and learned. So until next time, keep serving or start serving, even the visitors within your local church.
Bye.
Bye.